My name is Bob Bennett. I'm the baseball coach at Fresno State. This video is about pitching drills. These drills have been designed to help you have a winning season. We have a series of drills called a dry run series, and what we do is, some people call these shadow drills, but what we're doing is simulating the throwing motion and working on the details of the delivery and trying to refine each part of the delivery. So what we'll do today is start with the balance drill on the right foot, the push-off foot. And I have two pitchers here who will demonstrate that. They'll come in and get set with the push-off foot. One's a left-hander, one's a right-hander. Watch the push-off foot of each. They'll come up with a toe ahead of heel and balance on that, and they should have good balance and stay on the inside of the foot. And down. And back up. And down. Now you can do this two ways. We start off in the stretch position at first. We want to follow the regular procedure, picking the leg up, the toe leaves the ground last, and then we want to put emphasis on the back leg and the back, the push-off foot. Notice the back knee is pointed toward the target, the back leg is unlocked, and we're pushing down against the inside of the ball of the foot and relaxing, and relaxing. So we do this a number of times, up and down, up and down. Then we get so we can hold to three. We'll have them come up to the top and balance to three. Up, one, two, three, and down. You really don't hold till three, but that's just a practice session. You really have to gather at that point, though, before you throw a ball. All right, the next drill we'd go on from the dry run series is go from there to the stride position, and we want you to pick the leg up and stride to the inside, and then go ahead through with a throw and hang on the throw. All right, now we'll come through, we'll do that again, simulate your throw and hang on the stride foot, wait on the inside and hang. All right, now we had a little trouble over there to the right, which is normal. Now we'll come down and do that again, make sure you land on the inside of the ball of the foot, and you have good balance and stay there. And remember, that foot remains stable. All right, up to the top, hang and stay. Shouldn't be any movement with that. You should be able to count to three. Up one more time, really hang. And one, two, three. And then you'll waver a little bit, especially with younger guys, and that's okay. They can cheat a little bit as long as they can hang there. The key is you wouldn't really have to hang in that spot more than one-tenth of a second, but what you're doing here is exaggerating a little bit to develop balance. Now what we would do is do that from the wind-up position, up and stay on the back foot this time. Back foot and hang. And back down, wind up again, hang on the back foot, and down. You really pay attention, you just lock your eyes in on those feet. The foot that you're working on, the back foot, make sure the weight's on the inside. Let's do it now from the stretch position. Now we're going to focus in on the back foot, the push-off foot, and up and hang and down. Up and hang and down. Now go from the stretch position to the stride position, and we're going to hang, and we're focusing now on the front foot, the stride foot, with the weight on the inside. Go ahead, up, stride, down, and hang. Again, try to hang up there a little bit longer. Gabe, the right-hander over there, just hang a little bit longer. Up and hang. One, two, three. And one more time, and I want to see you hang on that thing to the count of three. One, two, three. Okay. Now what we would do, he does it a little bit better. He's been here a little bit longer than the other guy, but both of them are doing it correctly. One just taking a little bit, he's cutting short to 3/10. What he'd do is work on that till he can get it done. We want the steps to be short and controlled, and relax your front leg as you do that. So we come up to a position, hold it, come up, hold, now hop, hop, hop. Hop inside, 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 and then back. Let's do it one more time. Up to the top, relax, hop, hop, hop. That's just all this is to work on balance and feel. Now we're going to do that in the wind-up position. You come up the top and stop. And hop, hop, hop. And back again, up at the wind-up position, come up to the top, stop, and one, two, three. Pay close attention and make sure that this back foot is having the toe precede the heel as you're moving. What happens when some kids that don't have good balance, I want you to hop and turn your foot back as though you're unbalanced. They turn, if that foot goes ever which way, it goes back, they start preceding with the heel, and then they get unbalanced. We want him to feel that he can take any movement here and remain on the inside of that foot all the way across. All right, now we're going to do the same drill. We're going to just hang for gather, and then we're going to stride to the front foot, and we're going to hop on the front foot three times. What we want to see with that from a straight-on position, toe ahead of heel, and on each succeeding hop, we stay toe ahead of heel, toe ahead of heel. The weight on the inside and the knee inside, just the things that we talked about as far as balance, keeping that position as you're hopping. Stride, hop, 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 and back again. Balance, thrust, and an angle are important, alignment. So if we can balance properly, we can thrust on each one of these little hop steps, and we can keep our alignment, then we're going to be in pretty good shape as a pitcher as far as balance and alignment and thrust are concerned. Stride, stay inside, 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 weight on the inside of the foot. Now we can put this together, and we're going to go hop, 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 throw, hop, hop, hop. So we got three hops on each foot. We're going to come hop, 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 toe ahead of heel, toe ahead of heel, throw, hop, hop, hop. Okay? Now what we can do is we can work on all kinds of balance drills from this position. What we're doing is we're essentially eliminating the stride for a second so we can get the feel of balance in here. So we can move the weight back on the inside of your back foot, move it inside the front foot. Just that drill there is excellent because what I'm doing is I'm learning to load up and take the weight forward. Load up and take the weight forward. Now I want to be inside to inside, inside to inside. You're going to hear that from me when we're teaching pitching all day long, inside to inside, because that's an athletic movement. Now what we're going to do here is we're going to keep that leg this way. Now just simulate a throw and stay on the inside of your foot and finish left to right with your throwing arm. Just simulate a throw, left to right. Now what we look for here is we want this knee inside there, want this knee inside here, and when he does this, we don't want to see this peekaboo of the toe here, as he did then. We want to keep that toe down. So stay on the inside, as though your foot's on an incline this way. All right, go ahead. Now stay inside, inside. That's better, Gabe. That's better, that's better. Nice and stable here, there's no wiggling. You're staying inside. Again, inside, good. Right to left. We're working on a stride here, and this seems to be a difficult move for some kids, trying to get the stride foot down and go on the inside of the foot. It seems like the regular motion they want to make is a forced action here with this foot to come here. Of course, that throws our angles off. We want to stay close, 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 and then the last second we want to just open the toe but stay close with everything else. The knee stays closed, the top stays closed, and then when I get ready to throw, I want to open and go. I don't want to open early. And this causes an early opening. So what we've developed here is a little movement here. Keep the weight on the inside of your foot. And we just tell the player, just trace a little circle here with your foot and keep your leg closed and just turn your toe, not your heel. So we just make a little circle and down. A little circle and down. Go ahead with your circle there and down. And just touching the ground. As soon as they can do that, and it takes a little work with that, because if I'm used to doing this right before I sit down, I'll do that. No, that's not what I want. I want you to stay closed, stay closed. Just open the toe and leave the knee closed. Open the toe, leave the knee closed. Open the toe, knee closed. Open the toe, knee closed. Stride, do that. As soon as we get them to trace on the ground, then we pick it up and trace in the air that spot, just barely above the ground. And they're hanging onto the fence here to give them balance. When they can do that, then we raise it a little higher and we stride. and we stride. And then we go a little higher to the regular stride spot and down. In here and down. If he's got a little action here, that's all right. As long as he comes back down, he might want to do that. Come in here, here and down. Here and down, and then they can get here and then go ahead, just trace that, and they have control of the foot. This, again, is not any easy, simple remedy. It takes a little bit of work. Might do this every day for a week for one guy. Still doesn't have it. Well, we do it 2 weeks with him then, till he gets it. Another guy gets it in 15 minutes. We go on to something else. But this will work as long as you stay there and insist upon it being done the right way. Never like to hear a guy say, I can't do it. I walk this way. Therefore, I can't stride any other way. So, well, I'm not asking you to walk. I'm asking you to stride. You can walk any way you want to, but I want you to stride that way. And you can do that. I want to emphasize a couple things on this in the drill. Pick your leg up on a diagonal. He's a left-hander, so he's going to bring this knee toward that chin here as though you had a string, and you just pull a string up, and the knee comes right up to that in that direction. Now, the height of it is dependent upon the pitcher. It could be here, it could be here, it could be here, wherever his leg lift is. I'm not going to fight him on it as long as it keeps him in a good rhythm. If it doesn't, I'm going to change it a little bit. Pick it up. Now, here's the thing. When he gets up there, we want to watch, make sure this is relaxed. I'm going to hold you up a minute. I'll just hold you. Make sure this is relaxed. Make sure this is relaxed. The toe points down. And don't let this tuck under too much. It stays up and comes right in the chute right here. Stays right in there like that. And one of the ways we have on this leg lift, we just have a pitcher get right down in front and say, that's it, and let it go. Pick it up. That's it. Let it go. Put it in the chute right there every time. Put it in the chute every time. Now, for him, pick it up and I'll hold you. I'm going to hold you. For him, he ought to be able to look down his leg here and see the point of his toe. Why that's important, if he pulls it back under here, it starts tightening all his muscles up, and it also leads to tightness of the throwing arm. We don't want that. We want a nice relaxed arm, right? Nice relaxed arm plus a relaxed body. Now, the other exaggeration of this is a guy that pulls the leg way out here. If I pull this out here, it's going to make me really fire this thing out and overstride in there or be tight in here, and I don't want that. So I don't want either extreme, underneath or out in front, just a nice relaxed angle in here. And what we do is just have each partners, one pitcher get here and say, let me see your leg lift. All right, that's okay. If it's correct, we say, where is it? It's right there. All right, right there. Pick it there every time. Pick it there every time. Now we're going to start the stride and kind of combine two drills here together. One was that stride drill that we started, only I'm going to just hold his foot, and he's going to take his hip out and go. Now, what I don't want to feel is any firmness here on my leg. I don't want this hand to be taken away. Go ahead. I don't want that hand to be forced that way by real tight stuff here. That should be real relaxed. It almost no touch at all in here. I'm just holding it. The thing that's moving is the hip, not the foot. If you get this, where he's tight and that foot pulls your hands out, it tells me he's too tight coming up in here with his front foot. Needs to be relaxed. Okay, now we're going to talk about hand separation. Now, see, the reason we're doing this is we don't have to worry about our feet right now. They're all stabilized and we got them somewhat balanced here. Now we're going to talk about midline of the body and breaking the hands at the midline. So you find your spot. He's going to break about. Go ahead and break your hands. Okay, he's breaks at the waist. Go ahead and break yours, Gabe. Gabe breaks at the waist and with the glove, back of the glove toward the target. So we just pick them up a little bit and drop them. Pick them up and drop them. So that's all you do here in this drill. Just pick up and drop. Pick up and drop. Now what we do, we want to incorporate our balance in here. We want to pick up, go back against the inside and drop. Back against the inside of the back foot and drop. And drop. And drop. All right. Make sure that hand drops down and just lifts up gently out into the target. It doesn't come right out to there. It comes up and just lifts up gently to the target while this other hand's coming up quickly. But we're just going to place an emphasis on the front arm this time after separation and make sure it comes up in the right angle. Come on up and turn. That's it. Come on up and turn and stop right there. Now, occasionally, you'll have a pitcher who comes up and does this. This is okay as long as he gets it turned over and comes back in there. So I wouldn't change that. But if I were teaching somebody, I'd teach them to lead with the front arm. Again, this might be proper for some pitchers. That might be proper for others. This might even be proper for some because they have a real little short front arm action there. And any one of those is fine. And that's what you work on in this drill, is just getting this up and forming an angle to come back in toward the chest with. Do it one more time. Up and back in. Up and back in. Now go ahead, up and back in. Up and back in. So we're getting a little bit of rocking motion in here, a little bit of balance with it, and we're just incorporating in it with our whole rhythm package and working just on the front arm. Pick it up, turn the thumb over. Pick it up, turn the thumb over. What we're going to do now is just concentrate on, after the break, how we get the chest level and pointed toward the target. What we want to work on now is go ahead with your break and then start throwing and get your chest barreled and out. As you pull your front arm in, your chest is going to barrel that chest and get out there and go to the target. Now you go ahead in full speed. Try to, as soon as you can, as soon as you get to feel this, go through full speed motion on this so you simulate exactly like you're going to be throwing in the game. All right, up and chest out and down. That's good. Up again, chest out and down. Now we're going to do the same thing, except we're going to place emphasis on the chin. This is going to be barreled. The chin is going to be parallel to the ground, the bottom part of it. So do the same drill, but just emphasize keeping the chin up and parallel the ground. Go ahead. Chin up, parallel the ground. Good. Now, even doing this, we're starting to see a little bit better balance with the front leg. Up, chin up, parallel, and down. Now we're talking about the eyes. Take the eyes right to the target. Keep them level, parallel to the ground, and take those eyes right, put them right in the catcher's mitt. And that also, chest is barreled. Chin is up and eyes right to the target. Right up and right there. Now it's hard to get out of angles on that if you take your eyes right to the target, directly to the target. Go ahead again. And there. Now we're going to work on a heel over. Remember we did this little thing in the throwing motion where we came here and we brought this heel up and over. Well, we're going to work on that on flat ground right here. We're going to take the ball. We're going to push off the mound by pushing this knee down. We're going to finish the throw, and then we're going to turn our heel over at the end. So make sure you throw the ball by pushing off, knee down, and turn it over. Now, Gabe, you turned over a little bit early. You throw it, and then you turn it over at the end. Throw it, and now, Gabe, throw and over. See, you don't push off, you don't turn that foot, boom, and then throw. That's helping you throw, and then you turn it over. So that's what we're working on here. Go ahead and throw and turn it over. This is an old Charlie Green drill from Miami-Dade. Picked this up in one of the national coaching conventions, and I'm sure Charlie wouldn't mind if I use it. I think everybody uses it now, but it's a great drill because what it does, it puts you in a stationary stride position with your foot already up. So now we can work on a lot of things. We're working on balance. We're working on getting back into a load position. We're going to throw, and when we finish the throw, we're going to heel over and still be on that chair. Throw and heel over. See, that gives you a real good angle. We're working on the same thing, but we've just brought the foot up. It's already in the circle position. And as we finish the throw, we're going to now circle it up here, upstairs. Go ahead and throw. Now, we find this drill not only good for the heel over, but it's really good for getting the feel of throwing downhill, which I think is essential to pitching is to get the feel you're throwing downhill. You're throwing at an angle this way, because that's the way you're going to be throwing in a ball game, and that's where you have to get your power. That's why we do all these things with diagonals and angles, to get you to have the feel you're thrusting downhill. So one more time, chair drill up and down. We call this a trajectory drill. And it kind of ties in with what we're working with there on the downhill flight. We're going to start the pitcher already up with his arm up. Weight back against the inside right here. So he feels like that. Boy, I'm going to go downhill from that. Now you put your hand out there. So I've got this angle here, not that angle here, but this one. And then we're just going to work on coming from that position, load, getting a loaded position now. Now we're going to go downhill and finish your throw. Go ahead, simulate a throw at the target. Boom. Okay, what we've done is we just cut through the maze of breaking the hands. We've cut through the maze of getting the arm up. We've already got the arm up now in this trajectory deal. We're up here. We're going to start up there. Now we're working on extension, right to left action, and getting me a good, very good release point. Out in front, give me extension and down. All right, again. Extension and down. Now we want to get the feel of where that is that I'm throwing from. There's a reason for that. Go ahead again. All right, now we can come back and we say, now let's break the hands and get them up in that spot. And before you throw, I want the feel of you going right here. So I got to hurry and get my hands up and pop that thing downhill. Go ahead. Up and downhill. Now don't stop at the top this time. Keep in your rhythm, nice and easy. Keep it going. Pop it and go. Yeah. So now I'm working on a lot of things here. I've got good balance with my feet, weight shifted to the back foot, goes back onto the front foot. Go ahead again, and down. Now, if you wanted to, you could come back and say, are we working on the stride here? You say, yes, we are. The stride is already made, but now to finish the stride, we must keep our knees inside. So go ahead and break your hands, make a simulated throw, boom. All right, we stayed inside with the knee is bent, the weight's on the inside of the foot, so we'd be in a balanced position. We start with a stationary stride position here, and you're gonna throw and lift your back foot up and hang in the air to a count of three. Same drill we started with the very first part of the video, except we're doing it from this position. All right, start, throw, and hang, boom. Okay, there you go. Okay, do it again. Start and hang, one. Two, three, all right? Now we just keep doing that till we get the feel of the weight on the inside and we've got good balance with our feet, the knees bent, and I have good balance at the finish. All right, go ahead again, hang there, boom, and here. Now we worked with the chair drill, we worked on flat ground with the back leg. Let's do the heel over drill from that. We're gonna land on the front foot now, we're already here. We're gonna land on that. We're just gonna work on heeling over and come into that finish position there, right to left, push down, and heel up and over. Now see, what we've done here is we've isolated the front foot. Don't have to worry about it. We're just gonna work on the push off and the circle of the back foot. Go ahead again. Push off, up and over. Let's do the opposite. We're gonna come back now, and we're gonna stride to the front foot, and we're gonna just keep that foot back. Stride to the front foot and heel over on the flat ground. Heel over on flat ground. There you go. Now see, I'm not having to worry about picking that foot up. I'm just working on the stride right now. Just the stride. Just the first part of the stride and the leg lift. That isolates that so I don't have to worry about the back leg. And we do that for a while. Up and down. Now we're going to incorporate the whole thing. We're going to pick it up, we're going to stride, and we're going to heel over in the air like we did and put the whole thing together. Right here, stride, heel up, and over. Now we got it incorporated. Again, stride, heel up, and over. Now see, what we're doing is we're just breaking this position down, this delivery down. So we say, okay, we're going to just watch your back foot. Now we're going to watch your knee. Now we're going to watch the things that go on in the middle here. And then we're going to watch the follow through, the back leg coming up and circling. You can take any part of this delivery and break it down and work on it through this dry run series that we have here. All right, we have another drill here called a rotation drill. And what that is for is these two pitchers are going to get out here and play a little bit of catch. And he's going to work on throwing the ball across the seams and getting good backspin on the ball, getting good rotation on the ball, and a standard fastball with good seams on it. Now that was, he got to the outside of the ball and had a little bit of slider spin on it. What we want is we want this pitcher right here to recognize that that's not the rotation we're working on. It might be good rotation for your pitch, but we're working on making this ball the way we want. We want it to have good four-seam rotation where it's going to rotate just exactly even. It'd be as straight as a string. Now, I want to be able to throw it that way sometimes. Not very often, but sometimes I want to throw it straight. All right, go ahead. Now, good rotation, backspin, that was better. Now, give me good backspin. Old left-handers, you know, they eat on the other side of the table. It's kind of hard for them. Now, see, he came inside the ball there, and that's why his ball's rotating that way. All right, again, we're gonna actually have you do that. That was good rotation. We want a tight backspin, over the top. A little bit better, but we still had a little bit of wiggle on that. And throw one more and give me good backspin on it. And you know, you're only working at 30 or 40 feet here, and this could go all the way. That's better. What you want to be able to do is make this ball do what you want it to. Now we want each of these pitchers to throw and put pressure on the inside of the ball. Hold the grip with the seams and go inside the ball. Now I want that funny spin on the ball. I want that reverse spin on the ball going this way. All right, go inside the ball. Inside the ball. All right, that had that spin on it. Now we want player A to recognize that player B had that spin on it. All right, that's good. Now, he had that little sinker rotation on it again. And he comes back, does the same thing. All right, now, I want you to do the opposite. I want you to have a sailing or a cut fastball spin. So go the outside of the ball, tuck your thumb under a little bit, and go the outside of the ball and see if you can't get the ball to squirt that way. I want that outside rotation, slider rotation. Good. So you got slider rotation. All right, that's good. Now, he got under the ball a little bit. Stay on top of the ball and get out in there. Give me good extension with your hand. Go ahead. All right, good. He comes back, does the same thing. All right, good. Now we got three different rotations of the ball there, and you can make the ball rotate any way you want to. And what we want to do is make sure we know what we're doing. So this is a great drill for infielders, catchers, outfielders. If I'm a catcher and I throw one of those balls that moves this way or that way, I want my other partner to say, hey, what are you doing? But if I'm a pitcher throwing that, I want that kind of movement, but I want to know I'm making that kind of movement. So if I threw a ball and it had sinker rotation on it, the other pitcher says, hey, that ball with sinker rotation, that's good. That's what I was trying to throw. But I want to be able to make it do what I want to and not just have it go any way it wants to. So it's a good idea when you're in the rotation drill to do a lot of talking with each other. We want these two people to be really active in communication, saying what kind of spin it is. Now when we start to work on the curveball, we're going to work on curveball spin here. And let me show you. Let's go into a stationary stride position on this. Now this way I'm eliminating the bottom half just like we're working. Now we're going to work on getting good tight spin on a curveball down. Make sure we come on this side of the bill of the cap, finish up on that side, pull down on the ball, and give me good 12 to 6 rotation or close to it. I'm not saying that's the rotation for each pitcher, but I'm saying we want to be able to make it do that if we want to. That's good. Give me as close you can to 12 to 6. All right, now pull down and give me a lot more bite with your middle finger or with your index finger, whichever you're pulling down with. Give me good bite and pull down it. A little better. Now I got to get extended out in front a little bit and a little bit more to my left to get good break on that. That's good. That was good. Now get out there and give me a good tight spin and down. All right, that would have been, he stayed a little bit right on that. If you're watching from my view here, he's staying a little bit to the right. If he gets right to left with a curveball, gets over there, that's when you start to pop thing and get that real good tight spin on the ball. You want the kind of rotation you're working on. That had a little bit of 2-8 rotation on it. That was better. See, that had a little down spin on it. Now what you're doing here is you're experimenting in a very sound way, which is your best break on the ball. Go ahead, because everybody can't break the ball 12-6 and have good. That was good there. You can teach each other to pitch if you know what you're looking for. And we're looking for tight spin on the ball. We're looking for 12 to 6. Now we're going to make an adjustment. So let's go 2 to 8 this time. 2 to 8 rotation. Okay. Now somewhere in there, you're going to find the rotation that breaks best for you. And it's not an accident. You ought to be able to make this thing happen the way you want it to happen. And that's done by feel, by touch, and by working on rotation. And the more you do these little kinds of drills here, the more feel you get for things. And we can do this on virtually every pitch. The mechanics of the arm, making sure you have a right angle with it, and you're getting good extension with it, and you're releasing the ball properly out here. And I think you'll benefit from all of those things on these drills. I said the beauty of these drills is I can have a partner and throw to him, or I can have no partner and throw. Let's say he's thrown a full ball game on Tuesday, and we're going to work on some things on Wednesday. We can still work on him. He's just not going to throw a ball. He's going to go simulate everything. So now he's going to simulate a right-to-left, left-to-right action because he's left-handed. Let's say the last ball game, he was having trouble throw and don't finish this time, kind of stop up the top. He's having trouble that way. He's not quite finishing. So we want to come back and say, we got to refine that a little bit. We want you to work on dry run, 10, 15 minutes here. Come up now, we want you to get a good left to right action and finish by striding and finish left to right. Now do that till you just feel it in your sleep. It's just a habit. I'm just going to do that. Bing, in here. One of the enemies of a pitcher is laziness. We all have a tendency to be a little bit lazy. If I get the ball over the plate and I stand more upright in here, I'm still effective, I'll do that. Now, pretty soon I form a new habit. That's the way I'm throwing until I get about 4 or 5 games out in my starting rotation. I'm getting the ball up in here and I'm getting whacked pretty well. And then somebody says, hey, you need to finish your throw more. Now I've got to go back and redo this whole thing so I'm finishing. What we try to do is do little daily work things through dry runs so we keep that habit, keep that pattern up. And we want this to have a good breaking action in here. And it only is going to do that if you finish with it. If I stop here, then I'm coming to that sudden stop with those breaks, not allowing it to finish in a relaxed manner, and I wear the arm down and do some damage to it. Plus, I get the ball up, and none of us like that except the hitters. I want him to throw, and I want him to go down and push down the way he would do in a regular motion, and then end up pushing down and end up on your left knee and finish left to right. Okay. Now that's one way. If you have somebody who has difficulty pushing off, then you exaggerate it. You exaggerate it here through this kind of drill, finish, and so you get the feel of where does that darn left knee go, that push-off knee go. And this also helps your front leg bend. Your front leg needs to bend and stays down there. All right. Now, we're going to do more like the regular throw. Don't quite go down and touch this time and finish. Just go toward the ground with it and finish. Now, that would be more like a regular throw. Now, do that again and just kind of go down toward the ground. Make sure you're going down, boom, and throw. The other thing we can do here, too, is I just put this here and have you touch that pad. Just touch the pad, and then come over. That tells me, and you can make that pad any size you want to, but if I get down to there and come over, I'm at least starting my pushing action with the back side. So I'm not going to be one of those guys that just a stiff back leg and throwing. I'm going to use my push-off foot and push-off leg to give me some action downward. Have a plan when you come to the ballpark. For instance, if I were to throw a ball here to Giuseppe and I haven't warmed up yet and I just take that ball and throw it without having a destination for it, I'm a candidate for poor control. The first ball I throw, I should have an intent where it's going to go. I'm going to hit him right in the letters with it. I might be off, but I have a purpose of throwing. So we want everybody when they're playing catch to have a purpose, a destination, a target to throw to. So what we'll do is a couple of you guys get out here and as a demonstration here. Let's say they haven't thrown yet and they're going to start playing catch at 30 feet. We're going to put 6 targets on each player. I want you to hit him 5 times in the right shoulder. We're going to go five times up in there. All right, now we're going to go five times to the next target, which is your right hip. Right at the right hip line. He comes back with five here. Now five at the right knee. And I wouldn't worry. What you're trying to teach people here is don't worry about missing. Trust your arm to do what you want it to do, but have a destination for it. You want a target to throw to. Now we're going to go five up to the left shoulder. Five left shoulder. He comes back five left shoulder here. Then we go five down to the left hip. Now remember, we're doing this in college. You can do this certainly if you're a little leaguer, you want to be doing this. If you're a big leaguer, I think you ought to do this. I don't think you ever should throw a baseball without having a purpose to throw the dang thing. And then five down at the left knee. Now, they don't have to be these targets. You can have any targets you want. You can hit him in the neck 20 times. If I was an infielder, I'd be trying maybe to hit the guy right in the neck with the ball to simulate what I'm doing on a cutoff. We're relatively loose. And we got loose by having some idea about control. So that's one way to get it, target catch. The other thing is I need to evaluate myself every day. And, you know, like track has a method of timing people. Okay, if you run a 10-4, 100 meters, you're pretty quick. And if you improve upon that a little bit, a tenth of a second, then you know exactly where you're going. Sometimes we have a tough time doing that in baseball, but you can evaluate yourself each day. Am I, like with that drill there, I played catch with 30 throws, and I got 15 out of 30 hitting a target. The next day for me to improve, I get 16, I've improved. I got 14, I didn't improve any. So I want to make sure I'm evaluating myself based on something. If I'm throwing to second base as a catcher and I'm making 15 throws, how many did I throw with accuracy? Well, the next day I need to throw better than that if I improve. If I'm taking ground balls and throwing to a first baseman, how many did I throw over there with accuracy? How many did I throw away? I want to eliminate some of those. And so there's a measurement tool here. If I go into the bullpen and I'm throwing to a catcher, how many times did I hit your mitt? And I can change the target. I can make it big. I can make it just the whole plate and the target. Or I can make it parts of the target. I want to throw to the right side of the plate. I want to throw the left side of the plate. Count how many times you threw the right side of the plate out of 15 throws. How many times you throw the left side out of 15 throws. And those things can become your measuring tool for control. If he is a across-the-body guy and goes beyond his toe, what we do is take that thing and line it up so it's toe-to-toe. Now, he's got to be on his right side of that to be effective. He'd be okay there. Now, I would use that until he has a feeling, I don't need that anymore. And when I pull that away, I don't want to see him back over here. If I see him back over here, we use the shoestring again. And take the shoestring now, put it toe to arch. Now, every kid can have a shoestring. I don't think they cost that much money. And it doesn't even have to be a white one. It could be a red one, blue and green, or any other color. We use white here, just makes it a little bit more visible to camera. Now, that would be okay. I would say if I was trying to correct something, I'd want him on the right side of that. Make sure your foot ends up on the right side, slightly on the right side of the, that's good. All right, now if you want him open up even further than that, you go toe to heel. His back heel lined up with his front toe. And that's from where his foot is placed on the rubber. And that directly in line with the target. Now he's got to be on the right side of that. There you go, right side. If we're using that as a marker, we're going to get him on the other side of it slightly. Other side right there. Now open up a little bit more. See, he naturally closes, so it's a little harder for him to open up. Open, yeah. That's good, right there. This is called a towel drill, and it was invented, I guess, by Tom House and Nolan Ryan and Lance Brown at Texas Christian. And that's where I saw it, and I think it's a great drill because it incorporates everything we're talking about with angles. But you put a chair 10 feet greater than the height of the pitcher. I mean, not 10 feet, 4 feet greater than the height of the pitcher. So if I'm 6 feet, I put this thing 10 feet out from the point of my push-off foot. The idea is to get out here and flap this edge of that chair with that towel or with that sanitary sock, which is what he has, reach out and do that. Now I'm going to show you what happens. If he does that and stiffens up his front leg, he comes out and stiffens up front leg, he doesn't get close to it. If he comes up to that chair and he takes his front arm and takes it out that way, pulls it off to the side, rolls it out, doesn't get close to the chair because it pulls him out of alignment. If his head tilts, he has trouble reaching this. Tilts the head, can't quite get out to it because it throws him off. But if he comes directly to that chair, gets his chest barrel, bends his front leg, stays in alignment, he just pops that chair. And this is an outstanding drill as far as alignment is concerned. The one problem we had with it is that in trying to get to that chair, some kids will start to overstride. If they do, draw a line where the stride spot is and say, don't get over that line or this doesn't count. Because you don't want to stride with the legs, you want to stride with the top part of your body. Your chest and your arm wants to get extension on this drill. You've told this guy 50 times, don't overstride. And then you got upset and you said, gosh, I told him that. Well, telling him isn't going to help him. If he can't do it, then we got to bring a gimmick in. Now, I'm not a gimmick guy, but I'll use anything I can use to get the job done. And as soon as you get the job done, you want to pull a gimmick out and say, now you do it on your own. First of all, I'd simply tell him, don't overstride. So how do I keep him doing that? It was a couple things. One, focus on not overstriding. Two is point your toe down toward the ground. That'll shorten your stride a little bit. And the other thing is stop doing it, period. And that means you got to get off in the South 40 and work on it. But if you are overstriding and we've done all those things, you still do it, you're going to find out where your stride is. Say, all right there, Buford, don't hit that pad. Don't hit the pad. All right, he's okay. Now, if he's hitting the pad, it's just a reminder. That's all. If he just keeps hitting the pad, you say, well, gee, not only have I told you, see, overstride it then. He hit the pad, and he's got to shorten up. Pull your front toe down. Point your front toe downward and shorten up. All right, that keeps him from overstriding. Now, again, that's only going to last until he's got it sealed off in his brain. As soon as he could do that, I'm going to pull this thing away and say, now, let me see you stride where you're striding. Now, if he strides there, I say, that's fine. You don't need this pad anymore. You've corrected your problem. If he hasn't, I'm going to put the pad back, and we're going to do it until he can get it done. And I might even put a penalty until you stop overstriding. I'm not going to throw you in an inter-squad game. Until you stop overstriding, I'm not going to pitch you in a game. I mean, you know, you have the tools that you can encourage a guy very rapidly to do something. Now, let's say that he opens too much. He's way the heck over here, and you want him to be toe to heel. Give me a stride toe to heel. Toe to heel. All right, he wants to be there. But he is way the heck over here. He wants to open up way over there. Now, you told me your stride was right there. But don't step on that pad. So you stride, you stay right there. Now, that's fine. That's fine. You've got him lined up exactly where you want him, and that's fine. They say, you think you can do that? And he says, yeah, I don't need that pad. Good. I don't want you to have that pad. We pull it off. He comes back. He throws. You say, well, that's good. You don't need that. Now we got a guy that closes too much. This is the most common thing. He's way the heck over here and throwing across his body. All right. You're throwing over there. I don't want you to throw over there. Just throw toe-to-toe. Guy throws over there, try to get him back toe-to-toe, right there, all right. There you stride, we just simply put that there and say, don't hit that pad, and we've got that part corrected there, and you force him to get out there, and again, as soon as he's got it done right, in there, yep, good, now we correct that, and you come back and say, all right, let me see you do it without the pad, and remember, he hadn't been cured until he does without the pad. If he's now back over there, I'd throw the pad under and say, every time you pitch In an inter-squad game, I'm going to bring the pad out, put it down, or I'm just not going to let you pitch an inter-squad game, but we need to get it corrected. Now, what this drill is for is if you have a player who has this reverse spin with his back foot, he comes in here, flicks it back in here as he's throwing, he kind of whiplashes in there to throw, that's going to throw you out of alignment, and it's an unusual movement with your back leg. When we have that, what we've done is just put a cup. It can be any kind of cup. You just put it there and say, don't knock the cup over. You throw, you got to push off and kick to the right. You know, you push straight off and kick the right, so you shouldn't hit that cup up and over. Now, he's going to do it incorrectly this time. He's going to take one of those whiplash moves like that, and he'll knock that cup into creation. See, that's that reverse movement with your leg. We don't want that. So one more time, puts a cup there, doesn't touch it, and he's well clear of it. If you're doing it right, you won't even touch that thing. Now the other one is a guy that is a dragger of the back leg, drags it too much, doesn't circle with it. He just drags, and it ends up being a lazy left leg, just hangs in there. We want him to circle that yellow cone there, and you could put a plastic bucket there. You could put a milkshake container there, anything. Just use anything there to indicate. And if you want something higher, then go ahead and use a bucket. Pick it up, over, and there. That's all. We just, one more time. That's, you circle to the outside, and that's to the right of a right-hander, to the left-hander. You should circle. He's going to find out where he picks the ball up. In other words, he's going to come in a stretch position, reach back. Go ahead and reach back there. Pick it right up. Pick it right up there. Pick it up. There you go. That's it. And just do that in rhythm. Have a guy with 8 or 10 balls back here. Just load it and have him throw as fast as he can. Pick it up and throw. Now start your movement picking up before you throw. Pick it up. Pick it up. There you go. That's what I want. And then do that in rapid order. So there's a muscle memory thing coming in here. Pick it up, throw. Now do that and lean back as you just back on the inside of your back foot. Inside, now we're cooking. Notice the difference there. He's got a little more weight loaded on the inside of his back foot. Back and throw. Now it seems you are a little bit more awkward here, but what you're doing is simply working on fingertips down and throwing. Fingertips down all the way to the pickup spot. Fingertips down, and throw. And that's the way you cure this kind of thing here. At least that's the gimmick you use. And again, it's only as good as the player. If I have to have this all the time, and as soon as I take that away, I'm still doing this, then you haven't been cured yet. Just to show you don't have to have a lot of fancy equipment to work on things, you can take a broomstick here and work on a curveball. We're trying to get his arm up. And it could be a curveball or fastball. We generally use this with a curveball. I want him to get his arm up, and I want him to get a feel of getting the arm up here and getting on top of the curveball and throwing over that thing. So you got to get here and go out and extend and get on top and come down here. So I'm going to take this broomstick and say, I want you to get your arm over that thing and feel like you're throwing over this broomstick here. Over it, and then I want a quick break. Once you get your arm up, you're going to extend. I'm going to hold it out here. He's going to throw it, get it up, boom. I'm going to drop it down in here, or I can get off the side a little bit more and just hold it up there. I got to have your height. Get above that with your hand, and then pull down as soon as you get up. Get it up and pull down. Get it up and pull down. Now I can raise it. Really get it up there. Get it up there. Get it up there and down. Good. And I can go at different heights. Now fastball. Let's say you have a guy that's been pushing the ball in here. Yes, pushing the daylights out of it. Get that dang arm up, come over the top of that, and come straight downhill. Boom, right downhill with it. I don't care whether he's sidearm or what, he's got to get it up there first and then get the feel of coming down here. So we want the arm up, the ball up that high. Get the ball up that high to begin with. And then, boom, right downhill with it. This is another drill that I picked up from my good friend Charlie Green. at Miami-Dade. And it's a drill that it's been around, I'm sure, for a long time, and a lot of people have used it. But he calls it a screen drill. You could do this against the side of a building, but it's better to have some sort of a screen here to throw to. And what I like the screen is I can get behind the screen and watch the pitcher. So if I'm looking at his head, for instance, and seeing the alignment, I'm seeing that, and that's good. He's directly into the target, as you saw it in the camera. If you want to watch his hip elevation that we worked on earlier in drills, you see that? Hip is elevated. Maybe we're working on his back foot. So let's just key in on his back foot, make sure the toes ahead of the heel. He's going to throw in the screen, and that's the only thing I'm going to focus on. And that happened. All right, we had the back foot straightened out. Now we get his back foot straightened out. We said, let's work on the leg lift. All I'm going to watch now is a leg lift. Just notice his back foot. See how it comes up and circles, pushes down, circles, and over. That looks good. Now what we have is we'll get pitchers here and have a couple pitchers say, you watch his back foot, you watch his front foot, you watch his leg lift. Now we've got three teaching things going on at the same time. Boom. All right, Charlie, what was his back foot like? Well, it slipped a little bit, coach. What was his leg lift like? It was good. All right, we're okay there. How about his stride? We're okay there. You said his push-off foot was not good, then we need to work on his push-off foot. Get that thing straightened out, make sure the toes are at the heel. We go back, all of his flash in on that. It was good. It's just a little bitty, tiny goalpost that we invented to work on a really throwing a release point in here. We thought we'd do this, try to get the idea of throwing a curveball, and we found it has 1,000 other uses now. What we do with this thing is we just put this in front of the kid and say to him, I want you to get the feeling of throwing and putting your chin right here. So now we're talking about alignment. Just throw and make sure your chin comes out and ends up right on. You can't possibly do it, but you're going to try to set it right there, and your head's going to be right between that goalpost. Boom, in there. Now this time, just pay attention just to the chin and head when it finishes. Make sure it's resting on that, or in that location in between the two. We got alignment. We've got great alignment there. If his head finishes over here, it's pretty clear he's doing something there to make his delivery get off center. So bring it right through there. Now, you don't have to have this deal. It's not hard to make. It's just a pipe and a plow disc and a thing that goes up and down. And the two little goalposts. So now, I want you to do it incorrectly one time just to show what you'd have if you had a real erratic pitcher. I want you to really open up, pull your front arm out to the right, and end up off center. So this thing has a multitude of uses. You're trying to get a release point in here. You're trying to throw a curveball. You want height on the curveball. Set it up here, put a nail hole in there, and you got it. Now you're throwing the same thing in here. If I wanted him to throw higher, I'd say, all right, I want you to really get your arm up and get through that thing, and then release points down here. Arm is hands over here, release points down below this thing. Actually, you can use this with that's why we got it padded. You can pad this son of a gun, put it in front of the guy, and actually have him throw the ball through it. Get a release point. That's originally why we invented it, is to try to get a feel. If I go through that thing with my hand in a certain place out here, I will have a good point of delivery.